Ask the Mayor Public Affairs Program and newly sworn in Mayor Patrick Taylor on this past Thursday's town board meeting. You were new business.
And it's an honor to continue serving as the mayor of Highlands. I look forward to being the mayor for the next 4 years. I will say one of the things that I did at this swearing in ceremony was to thank several people. Thank Vic Perry, our Macon County Clerk of Superior Court, who always comes up and swears in the new board members. And this will be Vic's last time because he is retiring after this election coming up this coming year. I also thank my wife, Sally, for putting up with me being the mayor for all these years. And actually, she's had to endure me when I was the magistrate and as the mayor, sometimes saying, no, I cannot go to this event. My dear, I have a commitment or a duty that I need to carry out. So I appreciate her support and understanding because I love being the mayor of Highlands. Before we had the swearing-in ceremony, we gave a plaque of appreciation to Donnie Calloway, the outgoing commissioner of Highlands. Donnie has served on the board for 24 years. The last round of service was for 8 years, two terms. Donnie has really brought a special perspective to the board because he knows this community. He's lived and worked in Highlands for all these many years. He loves Highlands. His leadership, his advice, his guidance will be missed, and we all wish him well. We had the swearing in of two commissioners. Our senior commissioner, Amy Patterson, was again reelected and was sworn in. And then a former commissioner, Eric Pearson, who won election again, he was also sworn in. So I think we've got a great board as we go into addressing critical issues for the coming years.
And then a critical issue that also occurred on Thursday, and we've got the message too from TikTok, and then the police were on alert for any kind of activity aimed at our schools.
That's right. I rode by the school Friday morning, and we had a rather substantial presence of law enforcement there. We always have to be alert and vigilant to possible terrible things happening, and I appreciate our law enforcement folks who are very well trained, willing to be there to make sure that we have the best security for our young people. People were making anonymous threats on TikTok. Hopefully, that's just a bunch of foolish talk, but you never know. I think as a nation, we've learned we always have to be vigilant to these possibilities.
It was a national movement, and here on Saturday, our wreaths across America.
I'm a member of American Legion Post 370. Phil Potts coordinates the Wreaths Across America, and we had a ceremony at the community center at noontime commemorating the veterans and the people that have lost their lives in the service of our country and those veterans that came back from service and lived a great life and added so much to our community. The whole idea is that always to honor, to educate, and never forget by placing the wreaths on the graves of all the veterans in our cemeteries. And again, the American Legion, after the service at the community building, went to the cemetery and actually assisted family members and other people in placing wreaths on those grave sites, and they will stay there through the holiday season, through Christmas.
And you are one of those that came back and have added to our community, so thank you. COVID, Omicron, the variant, ominous clouds on the horizon, but we are waiting. What's the state of things right now?
This past week, I had a conversation with Tom Neal, our medical director and executive of our Cashiers Highlands Hospital. Medical personnel, they're very vigilant, trying to understand what will happen in the coming weeks, preparing to take action to address any possibility of an outbreak, especially the Omicron virus. But at this point in time, it's hard to determine what will happen. There's no formal course of action for us to take at this moment. Tom and I both agree and urge people, though, the best way to prevent contracting COVID is to get fully vaccinated. In certain situations where you're not sure of the vaccination status of everybody in the group, practice those protocols of wearing a mask, socially distancing. And that's something that we all just have to make a personal judgment on, but we can't let our guards down. I worry, and I know the medical people worry, that this Omicron variant is going to spread rapidly throughout the country at a high rate, and what the outcome that is, we're really not certain at this time, but we need to be ready to respond and be prepared.
The town audit, usually we do very well, and again, we've done very well, but they offered a suggestion. They are concerned about counting our inventory system.
Over the last about 3 years, the auditors decided we have to have an inventory of materials on hand in our public works department. One of the things that they're concerned about is tracking some of the smaller items. And by that, I mean the water department and the electric department and other places, we have a lot of nuts and bolts and very small parts that have to be used just constantly to make repairs, power outage. They're going to those bins and getting whatever they need to get those lines back up and the power back on. We're kind of perplexed that what level of accounting do you just not try to track? We're working with the auditors to try to develop a system where we can inventory those small items from time to time without spending more money trying to count them than the things actually cost. Overall, the audit is very interesting. They were showing our general fund reserves, our sales tax increases, capital expenditures, recreation, and other areas. There was some years where there's been a slight increase, some places a slight decrease, but for the most part, our spending in acquisition of resources, our taxes, has been pretty consistent. And then we also have very strong town reserves in the general fund and in our enterprise funds. We have millions of dollars that we have in reserve, and people will say, well, why don't you spend it? And my response is, we're about to start spending it. And from time to time, you'll see a year where there is a lot of spending from those reserves. We don't want to deplete them because really it kind of becomes our own internal banking system to keep funding projects. Public works, we're reluctant to make those commitments to spending from the reserves at this time because we're still in the hunt for external funding through the infrastructure funds that the federal government just approved. For example, we have an aging water clarifier tank at our water tank that will cost several million dollars to replace. Either we're going to have to pay for it very soon, or we can hopefully get some of this infrastructure money to pay for it. Now, I know some people, Steve, think, well, we shouldn't be using that kind of federal money or grant money. And my response is, I want to get as much of that as we can, so then we can take the money we have in reserve and go down the list and address even more projects that need to be done.
Now, we had to make a budget amendment for that pump station for $350,000, for example.
The board meeting, the last item, Thursday night. The situation is we have a critical pump station on Arnold Road, really the last pumping station before the sewage gets to the sewer plant. Over the last 6 months, we've been having problems with the pump and the parts in that station failing. It was built around 2001. Given the supply chain problem and the fact that a lot of the parts that we used to use when we put that new station in are now discontinued, they're obsolete, they're hard to find. Lamar Nix, our public works director, came and said, look, let me fix this by basically rebuilding, replacing that pump station. He says there are newer types of pumps, newer equipment, get rid of the old stuff and modernize it to current standards. He estimates it will cost about $350,000, but we have to do it, and that's why we have the reserves. And we just brought up from reserves $350,000, and at the end, when we were approving it, I said, Lamar, if you need more money to make sure that this station operates the way it's supposed to operate, come back and tell us and proceed, because those are the kind of things you just can't neglect. We've got to make sure that that system is working. They've been using some portable temporary pumps and things to make sure that the sewage keeps flowing to the plant over the last several months. The other thing that Lamar was saying, I can't wait and put an order in the new budget year after July 1st. He says, I need to order it now and hope it will get here before July 1st because of the supply chain issues that we're having. I think that was a good outcome, and we need to make sure that we have all these infrastructure issues under control.
Well, would Lamar Nick speaks, people listen, of course.
Yes, indeed.
Last Saturday, December 11th, I thought you'd be wearing your medal with the Atlanta Track Club. You went in that race, and how'd you do, by the way?
Went down to Tallahassee and ran for the first time with Atlanta Track Club in the 70 to 74-year-old. We had 10 runners. I finished fourth. That was the first time I've ever run in a national race. I finished 17th out of 28 nationally, runners from California, Colorado, Syracuse, New York, just everywhere. One of the things that really tripped up a lot of the runners, and a couple of them collapsed actually, was that it was about 75 degrees, the temperature, but the humidity was about 94%. And for a lot of those guys coming from other parts of the country, it was just really overwhelming. So growing up in South Georgia, maybe I had kind of an advantage of coping with that high humidity, but it was a lot of fun and I enjoy doing it.